Hello and welcome to Share Talk. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with the director and CEO of Horizonte Minerals, Jeremy Martin. Ticker symbol for Horizonte Minerals is HZM on TSX and on AIM. Hello, Jeremy, and how are you today?
Yeah, good morning. Good to talk to you. I'm very well, thank you.
It's very good to speak to you too again, Jeremy. Congratulations on the £9 million fundraise to fund the feasibility study. We're going to speak about that today regarding your nickel project in Brazil, and we're going to recap how we've got to this stage, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Shall I just give you a quick sort of recap on where the company's come from and where we're at today?
Yeah, go for it.
Absolutely. So obviously I set the company up in 2008. We made a good grassroots nickel discovery in Brazil. It wasn't large enough to be a standalone mine. So in 2011, we were able to acquire the new discovery to the south of us, which was made by Teck Resources, Canada's largest mining company. We were able to acquire that asset. We consolidated it. We took it through a scoping study, full-scale metallurgical test work. And then in Q4 last year into Q1 this year, the big kind of step change was being able to acquire the Northern project from Glencore.
Indeed, yeah.
The Glencore asset had had $75 million of spend on it, all good quality work that we've been able to use. It was valued at a significant premium to that as part of the Glencore-Xstrata merger. And we were able to acquire it for $8 million, no cash consideration payable up front. So it was a great deal for us. And now we've consolidated our project with the Glencore project, and 3 weeks ago we released a new pre-feasibility study.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Now, obviously, you've kept your cornerstone investors there, and you've got you've raised that money at what, just slightest of discounts.
Yeah, I think the key was we were looking for a solid institutional group of shareholders to basically take the company through the next stage of development. This fundraise was cornerstoned by our existing shareholders, Teck, Henderson, Aura Capital with Richard Griffiths and City Financial. And then on top of that, we were able to attract another three significant institutions from London and some institutional money from Canada. So it's a very good, strong shareholder group to build on what we have already. So I'm very pleased about being able to close this off.
Okay, can you touch any more on the new shareholders that have joined you and the Canadian ones as well, if possible?
I think you'll see when this transaction closes, it's got to go through a general meeting, which will be later. But once that settles, you'll see the names on the register, and I think you'll see that definitely one in particular is a tier one institutional name that everybody will recognize. So it's a really good sort of credibility stamp on the asset and where we're taking things.
Ah, so you've got some more surprises in store. Is that what you're telling us?
just a function of how things roll out, more than a surprise in store.
No, that's great news. Now, we touched on the feasibility and the quality of the assets and when we last spoke. Now, obviously, there's lots of talk in the market regarding the need for nickel and the fact there's going to be a deficit. But what work have you guys got in place to progress the feasibility study? And when's that going to commence?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. Let's just look at those pre-feasibility numbers again very quickly. When we released the study, we had a lot of internal sort of benchmark work on what was the right mid-term nickel price to use. And if you look at what the banks are saying at the moment, it's anywhere between $14,000 to kind of $18,000 a ton mid-term.
Yeah.
We used $12,000. We wanted to be conservative on our numbers. And you can see in our presentation on the website that at $12,000 a ton, the project sort of got $320 million net present value. After payback of capital, it generates $1.3 billion of free cash flow over 28-year mine life. A key number is the C1 production cost at $3.15, which is sort of $6,900 a ton. It will be right at the lower end of the cost curve.
Yeah.
More importantly, if you take the nickel price today, which is $10,500 a ton, this project is viable today. It's got about 140 million net present value and generates around $50 million of profit a year. And there's virtually no assets out there in terms of next generation projects that can do that. So the Glencore transaction was a real game changer in terms of the economics of the project, being able to bring it right down at this operating range. And we've now got one of the largest highest grade saprolite nickel resources globally that's not a producing mine. So it's pretty significant.
It is significant. I've just been doing some research last night regarding this, and I was looking at what was being said with regards to the recent, I must get this right, the Pay Dirt Conference, Australian Nickel Conference, and out of that came some stats from the Alto Capital analyst, Carrie Smith, that was forecasting nickel to be an average price of 17,400 per tonne, with a high range of 30,000 per tonne.
Well, I think that's very interesting. I mean, what I would say is that we're working on a midterm of we can make very good money at 12,000.
Yeah.
We make extremely good money at 14,000. If we see nickel price go to 16 or 18 at $16,000 a ton, this has got an 800 million NPV. At $18,000, it's over $1 billion of NPV.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's worth saying that nickel price today at 10,500 is at multi-year lows.
Indeed.
But if you take the 20-year average back from today, it's still around $16,000 to $17,000 a ton. So those numbers that they're talking at the Alta conference are more than four.
Yeah.
Whereas today is kind of slightly abnormal. But what it shows is we can still make money, very good money, at current pricing, which is pretty unique. I think you asked about nickel. I think there's three main takeaways that I would like to get across to people today on nickel. Number one, at today's nickel price, $10,500 a ton, around 40% to 50% of all nickel produced today is sub-economic, and that's not sustainable. So that's point number one. Number two, there was some good industrial data out of China today. Demand globally for nickel is running at about 2.5% to 3%. So there is robust demand out there. We've seen supply side constraints. And nickel is a sort of a second stage development metal. So we haven't yet seen any kind of peak in nickel demand at all. And that will really be where things are going. And finally, if you look out there globally across the major nickel miners, there's very little capital going into the next generation of nickel projects. And if you go to the junior space, we are a fairly unique asset. So basically, the pipeline is fairly barren going forward.
Yeah.
So all of those factors knitted together should indicate a very interesting nickel price environment from today going forwards.
Yeah, and adding to that, as you touched on there as well, is that all of that leads to the fact that with the growth projected forward, we're going to end up having a deficit. Regarding the demand for nickel, and therefore when you're on stream and fully generating revenue, you're going to be going into the time when the market price will be increasing because of the deficit.
Absolutely spot on. I mean, I think it's been a main driver of the company to keep moving this asset forwards against a very challenging backdrop. I mean, we did the Glencore transaction really at probably the bottom of the market. But our driver as a company and a board has been to keep moving this asset down the development curve, so that we're able to come online in a rising nickel price.
Indeed, yeah.
You've already missed that kind of uplift.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I want you to touch on the fact that I did note last month that Brazil and China signed a memorandum of understanding to set up an investment fund to finance infrastructure in Brazil, with China putting forward $15 billion. So it seems like the timing is right for all the things have been aligned for Horizonte in Brazil.
Yeah, so I mean, Brazil's had a fairly challenging two-year macro situation. Obviously, the slowdown in commodities is a big GDP driver. Then we had the Petrobras troubles. Then we had the Samarco tailings dam. Then we had impeached president. So
yeah,
it's had a very challenging macro period. I believe we're out of that now. We've got an interim business-facing government. We've seen the real stabilize. And we're seeing a lot of inflows of foreign capital into the agricultural, retail, and industrial sector, as you pointed to there. So Brazil is the seventh largest economy in the world. I don't see it disappearing. I think it's going to get back onto growth. And what it's done for us is actually, if you went back 4 years ago, the real was sort of 2-1 to the dollar. It was getting very expensive to operate.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this year, it hit 4-1 to the dollar and has sort of come down to around 3.2 today. So our spend is going a lot further and our competition has dropped away, and we really are recognized now up in Pará State as one of the next potential mines to be developed in that mining region.
Indeed, and I think that that seems to have been addressed as well regarding the team that you're putting together there. So you've got a world-class asset, and now you've put together a world-class board. Would you like to go through some of the individuals that you've got in your team? You know, you've got Hall, Bavington, Walker, Fisher.
Absolutely. I think we've got a very strong team with a lot of experience in Brazil and a lot of nickel development experience here. I mean, Owen Bavington joined us 3 years ago. He was group head of exploration development at Anglo American, heavily involved in their Barro Alto mine in Brazil, which is a very analogous mine to what we're looking to develop at Araguaia. Alex Christopher has been with us since the tech transaction. He's recently been promoted to global head of all projects and tech. So again, a massive amount of knowledge comes with Alex, and we've got a very good working relationship with tech. Bill Fisher was chairman of Aurelian in Ecuador, which was bought out by Kinross for $1.5 billion. And he has built and developed a nickel mine in the Dominican Republic. And then Alan Walker was down in Sao Paulo with Credit Suisse. So we've got a lot of high-level experience there. And then our nickel team is led by Roger Billington, who was global head of exploration for Falcon Bridge. And we've got two of the leading ferronickel experts working with us, Philip Mackey out of Canada and Nick Barks around the UK. So we have the team and the skill base to take us back through the production.
Okay, so the definitive feasibility study is on, yeah? What sort of time frames and milestones have you got for the, once this money is in the bank and ready to be used? What's next?
Yeah, so we've already been working around the feasibility study. For example, we completed full-scale metallurgical piloting midway through the year, so we produced nickel. That actually flows into the feasibility. We've done the majority of the resource drilling. The next big step will obviously be working up the contracts for the feasibility, which we hope to get in place later this year, latest by January. There'll be a trial mining program, which is a fairly involved piece of work. That's really to undertake excavations in a number of areas of the projects. There's also the detailed design work around the process plants. All of the work streams will flow into the final feasibility study, which we aim to deliver at the end of next year. In parallel, we aim to have our construction permit to allow us to start building. So by the end of next year, we will be ready to go out and actually start construction, subject to securing construction financing. So there's going to be lots of news. As well as that, we're going to start a regional program. We've got a very significant land package here now in Araguaia, and we've got a number of targets that we want to follow up on and see if there's upside resource potential. So it's going to be a very busy time for the company.
Sounds very, very exciting, Jeremy.
It is indeed.
Right, so I want to touch on some of the uses of nickel, because, I mean, people keep talking about the Tesla and the Model S battery and the sheer weight of that, which at the last check, I think, weighed something like 540 kilos, of which 26% of that weight is the battery, and the nickel makes up 80% of the cathode of each battery. So the demand's there, but where else are we using nickel, and where and why do we need it, and where else can we find it that's unusual?
Yeah, let's sort of step. I mean, the main end use of nickel is stainless steel. So 70% of all nickel goes into stainless steel.
Yep.
Stainless steel would be used in everything that you touch on a daily basis, through from knives and forks through to railway lines, anything that's got a corrosive environment. So, for example, in power stations, all the ducting, all the cooling, all the casings would be stainless steel. So there is a massive end use out there for stainless. China's really kind of had its first stage development, and now it's moving into that higher end use development where we are seeing a lot more high end infrastructure going into place. And then, as you've just rightly pointed out, I mean, talking about next generation batteries, the big focus has been on lithium. However, there's a lot of research out there now saying that nickel batteries actually hold their charge for significantly longer periods of time than lithium. So I think there are a whole raft of new uses, as well as super alloys, moving away just from the basic kind of development area that we've seen stainless used in. So I think we've by no means seen peak nickel demand. And I think what we're seeing out of China and also North America, etc., we're going to carry on seeing demand for stainless steel. And there's no low-cost substitute out there for it today.
No, indeed. I mean, the interesting thing I saw as well recently was that BHP Billiton's nickel business, which was facing closure, they're now looking to spend money on that, to improve that. So the demand and the sheer price of nickel rising seems to be attracting people back into that sector.
Absolutely. I think you'll see that across the board, that people are now focusing back on their nickel businesses. I think, I mean, it's one of these things. It is a cyclical metal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's interesting, if you look on our website at the presentation on page 37, there's a nickel price graph from 2000 to date. And when nickel moves, it doesn't just move 5, 10%, it moves 2, 300%. So we're sitting at multi-year lows today with inventory drawdown, limits on the supply side and demand on the growth side. So all of those things will result in an increase in nickel price. I just can't tell you exactly when that's going to be. But from our point of view, we work at today's nickel price, and that's the key. Anything above that is just upside for us.
Indeed. I mean, you're in a very, very fortunate position now, and obviously you're debt-free, you're cashed up, and you've got the resources now to put everything in place for 2017. Is there anything, because there's always people looking for flies in the ointment as such, Jeremy, is there anything that you can see as a concern going forward? Obviously, you can't say anything regarding the price because the price is at a trough as it is now. But is there anything that you've got any concerns about going forward for the company or nickel per se?
I think obviously there's always risks developing mining projects. I mean, as I say, we closed off our funding to get us to feasibility, but obviously market conditions do dictate the speed that you're able to develop these assets. Mm-hmm. That's a challenge. We've talked about nickel markets. I mean, we really need nickel to be sort of above 12 into the 14 range when we start producing. So that's 3 years out. So we've got time for that process to happen. But again, nickel can do, or markets can do, strange things. I think on a project scale, we've de-risked on a number of fronts. We've got our preliminary mining permit midway through the year. So we have de-risked it on a lot of these big ticket items. There's always risk on the permitting, but we've got a team to manage that. So I think it's just a general 360 degree view. And with a bit of luck, we should be where we need to be, sort of 2019.
Excellent. I've got a bizarre question here. I'm going to ask it anyway. Now, is there anything that you can foresee regarding what could or could not happen in the US that could impact Horizonte Minerals or the mining sector per se, regarding whichever presidential candidate is chosen?
Very difficult one. I probably don't have an answer for you. It's probably a similar question to what happens when we actually push the Brexit button. I think both events have got the potential to create market instability, which obviously creates nervousness about investors putting money into certain areas. And I think the one thing is that if you're buying into mining assets that sit at the bottom end of the cost curve, they're real assets.
Yes, of course. At a discount as well.
Exactly. So I think there's potential for market instability around the US and Brexit. But as I say, we are now funded, and my aim was to get funding before we kind of triggered either of those events, so we kind of run our way through. But I think it's all exciting, and the company, as I say, is in the best shape it's ever been in today.
Agreed.
And what I would say for anybody looking at the company, we're trading at a 5-year low share price. Nickel's at multi-year lows. I think the downside risk in terms of buying into Horizonte today is fairly limited. I think the upside risk is very significant. We're trading at 1 cent a pound of nickel in the ground, which is really giving the asset negligible value. If you look at transactions that have been developed through to feasibility and into production, they trade anywhere from 5 to 40 cents per pound of nickel in the ground. So I think over the next sort of 3 years, we can give people short-term uplift, mid-term uplift, and long-term uplift.
Agreed. Now, Jeremy, I've covered all my questions. I want to just throw it out there that the ShareTalk team and I would love to invite you to one of our future shows that we're doing, so you can speak and meet some of the potential investors in Horizonte Minerals, if that's possible.
Yeah, I'd love to.
But I've covered all my questions. I didn't know if there's anything else you wanted to sign off with for now.
But everything, I've just really, it's now about getting the story out there. We'd love to do one of your shows and really just talking people through what the value builds and where we see this going. And I think it's very well aligned with what the nickel price is going to do. And I think we can deliver real value for shareholders.
Agreed. Right, Jeremy, thank you ever so much. That was Jeremy Martin, Director and CEO of Horizonte Minerals, ticker symbol 8ZM. Thank you, Jeremy. Speak to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye for now.